This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Jerry Ratcliffe joins me live in studio. He's the author of the University of Virginia Football Vault, a history of UVA football, and of course, the renowned and celebrated sports reporter at the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Jerry, how are you, sir? Thanks for coming in.
Doing great today, Coy. Thank you for having me.
Merry Christmas. I know that you were on your way to a basketball game tonight at the John Paul Jones Arena, right?
Absolutely. They host Norfolk State at 7 o'clock, I believe, and looking for their fifth straight win.
That should be a fun game tonight, Norfolk State, right?
I would think Virginia would be heavily favored in that one, yeah. So I think Virginia fans should enjoy that one.
Jerry, I wanted to have you in because you wrote a recent article, and you actually have a series of pieces now looking at this subject that I find really fascinating because it goes beyond sports and goes into the history of athletics at the university, the politics of sports. Really is a fascinating subject, and you've been deluged with responses from readers around the country, a lot of UVA alumni chiming in on this subject, which began in a conversation with our own Jay James. Take us back to the beginning of this.
Yeah, well, as you know, I'm on the Sports Reporters with Doug Dowdy of the Roanoke Times. We have a 30-minute segment every, I think, Wednesday night with Jay on Best Seat in the House. And one night he posed the question, can Virginia ever catch Virginia Tech in football? And I wasn't quite sure what he meant by that, so I asked him to clarify it. He said, can they ever match everything that Virginia Tech's program has done over the past, well, almost two decades now. I thought there would, the way Mike London is rebuilding the program and if things work out, I think they can catch up to Virginia Tech in some ways. I think they can get to the point where they can compete with them and beat them and get some interest back in the rivalry. But I said, unless some things are changed philosophically, I don't think that they can measure up to what Tech's done the last 17 or 18 years.
Yeah.
And
when you say change philosophically, of course, you're not necessarily talking about coaching or recruiting or even facilities. You're talking about the academic educational environment in which the student athlete lives and works, right?
Yeah, to some degree. I would like to clear up one misperception out there. Some people think that I'm calling for them to dumb down their curriculum and lower their academic standards and all that. I wasn't suggesting that. I was suggesting that they just create some more majors, not only for athletes, but for the general student population that might help them attract some top-notch athletes and give them some curriculums that they would be able to thrive in something, you know, most of them are guided toward anthropology and sociology now. And, you know, what are you going to do with an anthropology degree?
Yeah. Really?
I mean, a lot of...
You go to grad school, because that's what I did.
Exactly.
You end up going back to school.
Exactly. So, they've had some majors there in the past. When the athletic program did flourish in football and basketball from the late 70s, when Ralph Sampson came along, up until around 95, while football and basketball were both thriving, most of the athletes were in a communication called rhetoric and communications, which
they did
away with in 95. And I think they have reinstituted some version of that. I don't think it's the same thing.
Media studies department, which is a very different kind of thing, yeah.
Right. But, once upon a time, a lot of the people told me they had various physical education majors, which I don't think they have anymore. And some people were suggesting things like sports administration, where people can get into coaching and becoming athletic directors or work in professional sports on an executive level of some sort. Things that would attract a lot of top-notch athletes that aren't available to them now.
It's 4:40 on the clock. We're talking with Jerry Ratcliffe of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Honored to have him live in studio on this Monday, December 20th. The phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. Are you a Cavalier fan? And what are your thoughts about this very topic? What is the solution? So, Jerry, I guess one of the questions is, do places like Tech offer these majors? Do they have sort of a more diverse curricula that is more appealing to a college athlete?
Yeah, I don't know if they have those specific ones at Virginia Tech, but they do have a more varied selection. And a lot of the top football schools in the country, and not only the football powers, but some of the more well-known academic institutions have a pretty good variety of things that will attract athletes like this and allow them to get a really good education and not sully the school's academic reputation, which some people here seem to be very concerned about.
And I
don't see where something like that would hurt UVA at all. I think it would actually help UVA in a lot of different ways.
Do you think that the folks who are concerned about that are they're overly concerned that there's a way to diversify the curriculum without dumbing down or lowering the standards?
Yeah, this debate, it's been a running debate for years, actually, and I've just decided to write about it because I thought the timing might be good. I've had debates with professors over the years who don't even understand why they even have an athletic department. They don't know why they have a football team. They could care less, and they feel like that money guided toward football or any other sport is a waste of money, and it should all be dedicated solely to academics, which, you know, I can understand where they're coming from. But if you're going to have a football program or an athletic program, why not make it the best football and athletic program that you can have, just like the other parts of the institution?
We're talking with Jerry Ratcliffe of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, and the phone lines are open, 977-1070. Danny is with us in Madison. Danny, you're on with Jerry Ratcliffe. You go right ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. It's funny you guys are bringing this up today. We just had this conversation with some friends of mine the other evening. What I don't understand is, if we can't pull in the so-called student athletes for football and basketball, how does Virginia get so many great, non-revenue athletes, baseball players, swimmers, golfers, lacrosse players, soccer players, all those men and women, they're there getting their degree for whatever occupation they might be going into, yet their programs are always in the top 5 or 10 in the country. And it just, I just don't understand how we can't get the football and basketball players to Virginia as the revenue sports, where we get all the non-revenue sports great athletes from around the country.
Danny, thank you for the call. Yeah, thank you for the call. It's a terrific question, and it was actually on my list to ask it because, you know, when I would add rowing to that, track and field, I mean, some of the very best cream of the crop in the nation, and yet these are also some fantastic students. I mean, these kids do really well in class, and they also work just as hard. I mean, that's one of the things that you and I both know that a lot of people don't realize is how much these kids work, these athletes. They really work constantly.
Absolutely.
In the classroom, outside of the classroom, they're always going to a meeting with a coach, going to training, doing... So why is that? Why is it that UVA has all these non-revenue teams that have some of the best athletes in the country?
Yeah, it's good that you brought that up, and it's particularly the time thing, because one of the old football players from the glory years of the early 50s, the Art Gepp days, I think, Nelson Yarbrough, wrote me. That's one of the responses that we'll have on our CavalierInsider.com hopefully by tomorrow. We've got so many of them, it's been hard to get them all edited and up. But he was talking about the time dedication that he was pointing out that a lot of the great football players from his era, they didn't have to deal with football except during the season. They played 9 or 10 games then. There wasn't any bowl stuff to worry about. And spring training was the only other time that they had to deal with football. Now it's a year-round sport. These guys are working on some phase of their body or conditioning or football or learning their plays or more about their schemes year-round now. There's really it's not a seasonal sport anymore. It's a year-round sport. And Nelson was pointing out in those days that those guys had a lot of time to study and really work on their degrees and things like that, whereas these guys now, they have to be incredibly good at time management just to be able to survive.
I was just talking with a friend of mine who is a varsity athlete and currently, and she was telling me that's the point that she was bringing up, that people just don't realize how busy these kids are, and yet, you know, they're expected to do all of this work that everybody else is doing, and you want them to do it. I mean, this is the place of the home of the student athlete, and we pride ourselves on that, and yet the truth of it is that they're working their butts off, and it literally is just a time management issue. Oh my gosh, I'm supposed to have a meeting with my classmates about this project, but my coach wants to see me.
Yeah, it's it would be interesting to sit around and talk to some of those athletes just to see how they go through their day when it starts really early in the morning and often stretches late into the night. And I don't see how they do it and are able to maintain their academics the way they do. And unfortunately, some of them can't. Getting back to Danny's question, it's a very good question, and I've had it explained to me in various ways over the years by various coaches. Some coaches will argue that most of the kids in the sports where they thrive in over at UVA are mostly so-called country club kind of sports: tennis, golf,
lacrosse,
swimming, lacrosse, things like that. And a lot of these kids come from really good, solid academic backgrounds, which is not necessarily the case with all the football and basketball players.
Perhaps some of these kids, and I'm sure it's not true in every case, but broad strokes here, that they learned some study skills maybe when they were in middle school and early on in high school that they're really benefiting now, and some of the other folks who didn't come from some of those type of backgrounds are really trying to play catch up in learning the time management and the study skills that they need.
That's what some coaches have explained to me, and when I've asked them the same question, and I don't want to throw a blanket over all the football and basketball players because some of them are excellent students and really want to succeed. Some of the others are here mostly to play football and basketball and get what education they can. It's just, you know, it's just a fact of life in athletics. But one guy sort of said it's kind of like having everyone in your student body enroll in a swim class, and you show up at the natatorium, and the instructor says, "Okay, everybody, jump into the pool, swim to the other pool." And some of the guys who know how to swim and are very acclimated to it, you know, it's no problem. The other guys who don't know how to swim, they say, "Well, sir, I don't know how to swim." They said, "Well, you know, you got to swim just like the others. Just jump in and go. And if you drown, that's too bad."
So. But we should point out that even at UVA, the football and basketball players have enormous resources in terms of tutors and folks who they're working with constantly.
Right.
To pick up those skills and get the extra help.
That's true.
We're talking with Jerry Ratcliffe of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. Charles is in Charlottesville. Charles, thank you for the call. You go right ahead.
At first, when you started to answer that question, it sounded like you were throwing it off on the heavy load on the football and basketball athletes not being able to do. But it seems to me that you should be dealing with is a concept of as they enter the college or the university, they are coming in distinctly different because, obviously, from what you're saying, the non-rev athletes have a better inclination to study, a better ability to deal with the study program, where these two areas of revs, they are not. But I think it's starting back in high school where all of this takes place and moves on. Love to hear your response.
Charles, thank you for the call. And we did touch on this a little bit, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, and Charles makes a good point. I think that's true in many cases. I was talking, one of my segments, one of my columns dealt with that with a former athlete who did come from a great background and was here. He wasn't a great football player, but he's working on Wall Street now, but he wanted to play football. And he realized as soon as he got here that, you know, he was one of the few guys who had that kind of background in a football program. And he felt for some of his teammates, and he tried to help them all he could legally.
He
went on to explain that, you know, a lot of these guys just don't have the same kind of background and they struggle, and even the two easiest majors that they're guided toward require incredible reading comprehension and writing, and those are some skills that a lot of football players straight out of high school just don't possess, and maybe they pick them up as they go, but from the get-go, they're kind of struggling.
We're talking with Jerry Ratcliffe of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, the author of the University of Virginia Football Vault, A History of UVA Football, makes a perfect Christmas gift, and Jerry is the author of a series of columns now at CavalierInsider.com and also at the Daily Progress, exploring this idea of the educational environment of UVA football and basketball players and what can we do with that environment to improve the performance of the teams, because that really does appear. You've been watching this program now for so many years. If anybody can put their finger on where what really is the holdup here, it would be you. Let's give a little historical context to this. In the 1950s, you had the Gooch Report, which a lot of University of Virginia faculty members looking at athletics and saying, we want to de-emphasize athletics, maybe move to a 1AA, get out of the NCAA. We want this to be sort of more of a club kind of thing. We don't want big money going to it. Tremendous pushback from alumni boosters. And the Gooch Report fell on deaf ears, really. It's an interesting historical footnote, but it did not succeed, really. Then you fast forward a few decades, and you have the Corrigan Report. Well, pick it up for us there. What are your thoughts on this sort of the historical context for what we're talking about today?
Yeah, and you know they and going back to the Gooch Report, even though it didn't end football, it recommended giving up, I think, football, and certainly de-emphasizing athletics. And while it didn't destroy the sport, it really damaged the sport in a lot of ways because its best coach, Art Gepp, was kind of fed up with that, the fact that they were headed to a bowl game and the school would not allow them to go. He left and went to Vanderbilt. And so from that point until George Welsh got here in 1982, it was sort of a football wasteland. They went through the longest losing streak in the nation, 28 straight games. And, you know, they had become the sad sacks of college football. Everybody, you know, Virginia was the butt end of every football joke in college football. Gene Corrigan, when he came in, I think he saw the shortcomings and recognized there were ways to help Virginia. And they needed help in not just football and basketball in those days, but, you know, they had terrible facilities. They had a 3-year foreign language requirement, which was preventing a lot of really good athletes from coming here. And quite a bit of his summer in 1978, and he came up with a 14-page typewritten report that he gave to Frank Hereford, the president, and kind of really worried after he handed it to him if he might have a job the following weekend. And Hereford surprised him, and he felt like that Gene had done a terrific job in his research and that he was serious about if Virginia was ever going to be good in athletics, particularly football and basketball, then something needed to be done. And when he called Gene into his office that following Monday, Gene thought he might be going to give him a ticket out of town. But instead, all the vice presidents were in there, and aldermen asked them to read the report and to do what they could to help. And so, you know, fast forward to a few years later, when after Gene had actually left and gone to Notre Dame, and George Welsh came in and turned the football program around. Terry Holland was already in place and turned the basketball program around. And
they were beneficiaries then of the Corrigan Report, of Gene's work.
Absolutely.
Years before.
Yeah. Both teams went on to be ranked number one in the nation. And had not it been for the Corrigan Report, I don't know that would have ever happened.
We're talking with Jerry Ratcliffe of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. You can continue this conversation with him online at CavalierInsider.com and Daily Progress. .com. Where does it go from here? I mean, where would you like to see it go from here? You've called for a new Corrigan report, for a new full-scale review, top-to-bottom review of what's working and what's not, and how can we take football and basketball to the next level?
Well, ideally, I would like to see the athletic administration there and the new president, Teresa Sullivan, and the board of directors, board of visitors, to actually sit down and study and look and see how other universities who have good academic reputations, including the Michigan, where Dr. Sullivan came from, how they do it. And it hasn't really hurt the academic reputations of some of these other really good football and basketball schools. And I think
they figured out a way to do it, didn't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think it could be done here, and I don't think anybody would really be upset about it. And I would like to see that happen. I'm sure they don't really care what a sports reporter says. But, I think a lot of their alumni and a lot of fans, and including some of their very powerful alumni, would like to see that taken seriously and see if they can do something to help football and basketball return to its glory days here.
We're talking with Jerry Ratcliffe. We got time for one more quick call. Bob is in Charlottesville. Bob, thank you for the call. You go right ahead.
You're welcome. I'll ask my question and listen off on the air. Would it be better to take these kids their first year and just have them focus on academics and not even focus on the sport that they're recruited for?
So just redshirt them their first year, I guess, is the question. Bob, thanks for the call.
Bob, I think it probably would. Of course, some kids are more acclimated as soon as they get here than others to that sort of an academic setting. But I think that's Mike London's plan, not necessarily only for academics, although he's very concerned about their academics. I think he also wants to redshirt them that first year to get them bigger and stronger and faster, and eventually that will pay off down the road when they're here for 5 years instead of four. But I think part of his plan, too, is that will help them get acclimated into the academic mindset at UVA and to be able to thrive in the setting that they're dealing with. It's easier to do in football than it is in basketball. Most schools don't redshirt basketball players, and Virginia's doing it this year to one player, and which is fairly rare. But I think in football, I think that's the plan. I think they're going to try to do that.
Yeah.
Still, there's some guys who are good enough to play as freshmen, and they'll probably do so.
Jerry Ratcliffe for the Charlottesville Daily Progress. You can also pick up his book, The University of Virginia Football Vault, for a Christmas gift. Jerry, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Coy. Enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.